It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are kicking off a five-part series in which we talk to the five individual Tuolumne County supervisors as a chance to hear straight from the board members about issues facing their specific district and the county as a whole. We're beginning today with District 2 Supervisor Ryan Campbell. Supervisor Campbell, thanks for coming in.
BJ, how you doing?
Doing good. So District 2, anybody who's unfamiliar, take us around your district. What does it all include?
Oh my God. Well, District 2 is the greatest district in the greatest county in California, and it encompasses roughly what you would look at as North Tuolumne County. So you got Cedar Ridge, you got Crystal Falls, Soulsbyville, Willow Springs, Bellevue Oaks, and Big Hill up there. A lot of really wonderful communities. We have Longeway Road, which is kind of our industrial area. And we have a lot of timber companies based in District 2. A lot of great place to get a burrito. You know, you need a burrito. That's in District 2. So some good restaurants and good places to go and wonderful people.
So District 2 specifically, what would you say are kind of the big issues and projects right now in the district?
Well, you know, we talk about this quite a bit, and I would say that they haven't changed very much in the past several years. What we need is we need better roads in District 2. We've had several road projects in the past couple of years. We've had Kewin Mill Road was done last year. We had Crystal Falls Drive was done late last year, early this year. And we had Willow Springs Drive, Phoenix Lake Road, a lot of major road projects on what we call major collectors, which are kind of the major arteries that run through District 2. There's a couple that I'd really like to see happen in the near future. One is Big Hill Road. I've been advocating for this really strongly lately because when I look at the areas of the county that have been neglected over the past several years, Big Hill is absolutely one of them. People think of kind of Big Hill and North Tuolumne County as a really rural area, but there are many, many hundreds of residents that live up in that area. And if you drive, I challenge anybody to drive Big Hill Road today, it is a jarring experience, you know, and it's a shame that that's a county road. And what I'd like to see is our county invest money into rehabilitating that road because it is not only a valuable asset for the citizens of Big Hill and Cedar Ridge and Upper Crystal Falls, but it's also a valuable resource for people in Columbia wanting to go to Twain Hart or vice versa. Because right now, as anybody knows, if you want to go from Columbia or the Calaveras side of the river up through Twain Hart and Highway 108, you're going to go up Parrots Ferry Road through Sonora and then up the highway. Nobody is going to take the shortcut of Big Hill Road because the road is in such poor condition. But if you actually look at it on a map, that is the quickest route to get to Twain Hart and get to the high country. But nobody takes that route because of its condition. So it's actually connecting our community together to invest in those types of infrastructure projects. And to me, and just on a practical sense, it's the number one road that we receive complaints about in Tuolumne County is Big Hill Road. One of the things that I track a lot is pothole repair requests and that kind of thing. And that's the number one road for those type of requests. So it needs to be a number one priority for the county too.
So what are the challenges to getting a project like Big Hill Road done? As you mentioned, people who drive it know the situation that it's in, people who live there. Why don't projects like that get done?
Well, they do get done, but the problem is it takes time and it takes money. I mean, just like any other major infrastructure project, those are the hurdles that we have to overcome. Like, take Kewin Mill Road, for example. I started advocating for that road back in probably 2019, and then it took several years for us to pull the money together to get it built. I've been advocating for Big Hill Road probably since 2020, and it takes a while to get the money together and to get the support to do that. I think that we can do that project in three phases. The first phase should probably, you know, focus on the parts where people live the majority, but I think we should be able to do that entire project. But the thing about road projects is they always take a lot more money than you think, and they take a lot more time than you think they're going to.
How about the issue of fire insurance in your district? What are you hearing from your local constituents?
It's a huge struggle. I think we are past the point where anyone is expecting to receive a fair deal on their fire insurance right now. Virtually everybody in my district is on the fair plan. It's kind of, you know, it's almost like a unicorn when somebody isn't on the fair plan in District 2 at this point. And the reason for that is partially inaction at the state level and just plain old greed on the part of the insurance industry. Because what they do is they look at our district on a map. They look at the fuel loading, the vegetation, the trees, the brush, all that. And then they have some kind of calculation that we are not privy to. We're not allowed to see what that is. But they use that calculation to determine the level of risk that the community has for fire. And based on that, they assess what you should pay. But what they don't take into account is anything related to the millions of dollars that have been spent on fuel reduction projects. My district has seen the Cerro project, tens of millions of dollars invested in reducing our fuel load, and none of that is taken into account. And at the state level, we have I see that the insurance commissioner has taken some steps in the recent years to do a few things about it, but it's too little too late. I mean, the damage is already done. People are paying way too much for their insurance, and what needs to happen is linking an insurance company's ability to sell car insurance, any kind of other insurance, to the availability of homeowners insurance. Because what we're allowing the insurance industry to do is cherry pick what they want to sell and to whom in a state that generates tens of billions of trillions of dollars in revenue for this industry. And so in exchange for that, we need to do right by the people that are struggling. And District 2 is kind of the epicenter for that.
So if people bring concerns to you, there's only so much you can do as a county supervisor. What's your recommendation to them?
Well, people are absolutely suffering. And if you think about the advice that is pretty common for the healthcare industry, that you need to be a good advocate for yourself. When you sign up for the FAIR plan, what you are signing up for usually is the highest possible rate of cost that the company that's underwriting your insurance policy can possibly get out of you. They're not taking anything into account like fire hydrants, you know, any kind of fuel mitigation you've done on your property. So you have to be a strong advocate for yourself. So once you get signed up for that FAIR plan, you need to call them and tell them if you've done fuel protection on your property, if you have a fire station near your house. The number you can do to call that is 1-800-339-4099. You call them and you tell them what your insurance policy is. You tell them about these things, and then possibly you can get a reduced rate. If they don't want to do that, you can also call the California Department of Insurance. And that's 1-800-927-HELP. That's 1-800-927-4357. And that's another number that people can call to get some help advocating for themselves and get a reduced rate. It's what I did. I mean, I'm on the FAIR plan like everybody else. And the rate that we were initially quoted was much higher than the rate we ended up with because I was advocating for our household.
So be the squeaky wheel.
You got to be the squeaky wheel. You got to really take stock. And it's a shame because it's just not fair, but it's what people have to do in order to get be affordable.
Another project specific to your district that was contentious when it passed was the Soulsbyville Transitional Housing Project. What's going on with that project right now? Is it fully operational, and is it working?
Yeah, so we are coming up on just about 1 year since the Navigation Center opened. I would say that it's been a huge success. A lot of the strongest voices that were in opposition to it are now volunteering there, or they're helping out or participating. We have monthly meetings related to the Navigation Center between the county and the community there. And, you know, in the first year, the Navigation Center has graduated, if you want to use that term. 41 people have completed the program with and 32 of those have exited into stable housing, which is it's about a 78% success rate, which for the kind of population you're dealing with is extraordinarily good. Right now it's pretty much full. I think there's about 32 people at the Navigation Center, which is close to the capacity there. So yeah, it's been working, I think, really well for our community. We're getting people from the streets into stable housing, and that was the whole point of the Navigation Center from the outset. So it seems to be working really well.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Tuolumne County District 2 Supervisor Ryan Campbell on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're in the midst of a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County Supervisors. This is Episode 1. We'll have the other board members over the coming weeks. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're in the midst of a five-part series kicking off this weekend, talking with the five individual Tuolumne County Supervisors, joined by Ryan Campbell, who represents District 2 on this first show, kicking things off today. We've been talking about specific issues in your district, Supervisor Campbell. How about the town halls? We're seeing a lot of town halls among the Board of Supervisors lately as well, and you have one coming up still?
It seems like there's a town hall every week by somebody doing something lately, and I don't know what that's all about. I scheduled, you know, I usually have about 3 to 4 town halls per year. I had one in May, and then I have two this summer. One was just completed up in Big Hill, and that, we had a pretty good turnout for that. So their next town hall is going to be in Soulsbyville at Soulsbyville Elementary School in the gymnasium on Wednesday, October 15th at 6 p.m. We'll talk about some of the efforts that that I've been spearheading to get sidewalks and proper crosswalks put in front of that school. There's something called an active transportation program, and we're trying to put an application in to do that. Also place building. I think that Soulsbyville is, struggles from the fact that there's a big highway going through it. And so we want to really connect that community better. And I think things like putting up a Welcome to Soulsbyville sign, I think we could do some relatively low-level improvements that could make a big difference in the sense of community that we have in Soulsbyville. That's going to be Wednesday, October 15th at 6 p.m.
You know, getting into some other issues, there's been a lot of change in county government this year with the exit of the CAO, the Community Development Director, the Library and Recreation Services Director, and some others. What are your thoughts on just all the changes right now going on in county government?
I think our county government is struggling, and you'll probably get a different answer from each supervisor you'll talk to. But I have never seen a lower level of morale amongst employees at the county in the 10 years or so that I've been working or been serving as a county supervisor. This is the lowest level of morale that I've ever seen. I think people are concerned for their jobs. I think that you know, some of the changes that have happened with department head level positions were expected, and I think some of them weren't expected. And I think that creates a lot of upheaval. It creates a lot of uncertainty in the community, and people are calling me, asking me when their permits are going to be processed or whether grants are going to be submitted, and I don't have a really good answer to give them, and that's pretty scary.
Yeah, I was going to say, has it created some issues just for operating county government with all these people, these top-level officials leaving within a short amount of time?
Well, absolutely. We don't have anybody as director of our community development department, which is an extremely important position. Right now, our interim CAO is pulling double duty between being an interim CAO, which, as people might imagine, is a pretty, you know, that's a pretty full job by itself. But he is also serving as the interim community development director, which is another position that has a great deal of responsibility. The same person that does our budgeting in our county also oversees the library and also oversees Standard Park and is also in charge of several of the major grants that fund our county. And so what we're doing is we're shifting the burden of a lot of this essential work onto a smaller and smaller number of people. And when you do that, you get burnout. And, you know, I don't understand some of the hostility toward the people, the public servants that make sure that that when you call 911 that law enforcement shows up or fire shows up, that roads are fixed, that social workers are able to protect kids in our community. All of those services are provided through really dedicated public servants in Tuolumne County. And I've just seen not as much of an appreciation of that at the board level. And it's pretty disturbing.
You mentioned Standard Park, too. That was another thing I wanted to ask you about. There's been a lot of questions about the future of Standard Park and different proposals and ideas for the future of that facility. What's your thoughts on how you'd like to see Standard Park proceed?
Yeah, one of my colleagues says he wants to sell it or give it away, or I really don't know what the plan is there, and I don't understand it. But what I can tell you is that Standard Park is the crown jewel of Tuolumne County. For the cost that it takes to administer that park, the amount of resources that the community gets in return for that is immense. It is very cheap to operate Standard Park, so don't let anybody tell you that it's, you know, hemorrhaging money. It's never been designed or intended to be some kind of a revenue-generating tool. It's not. That's not what county government does. What Standard Park exists for is for the enjoyment of the citizens of Tuolumne County, and that is what it does. That is the mission. That is its purpose, and as long as I am supervisor, I'm not going to support any other private whatever entity taking over Standard Park. It belongs to the people of Tuolumne County, and I really don't know where this conversation about anything other than that is coming from, because, you know, if you look at the deed for that property going back to the early 1980s when it was given to the county from what at that time was fiberboard. It was a company that made fiberboard. Now it's SPI. It was always originally intended to be a county park. And so my firm stance is that it needs to continue to be operated that way. It needs to serve the people of this county. Because if you look at it, any way that it could possibly generate revenue by allowing, say, travel soccer leagues or softball leagues out of the county that have the kind of money to pay to support it at that level, what you would then do is you would have to prioritize those wealthy out-of-county leagues over our local kids. And I am not willing to do that. Our local kids come first. Tuolumne County soccer, Tuolumne County softball, those have to come first. And I'm just... there's just no other way for me on that issue.
So Standard Park stays under the county's full control. Do you think that it's sustainable the way it is, or does there still need to be like changes and kind of an overhaul?
Yeah, it's absolutely sustainable. I think where it's suffered is the same. Like if you look at some of the local water districts and special districts in the county, what happens a lot of the time is that they don't have rate increases for their members on a regular basis. And so what happens is they wait too long and then now they have to increase the rates 25% all at once or something like that. I think we've done that to a degree with Standard Park with the field rental rates. So we renegotiated a rate with the soccer leagues, with the softball leagues. And I think it is absolutely at a sustainable place right now. And I think with the support of some of our community partners, we've been reaching out to people that want to donate their time to help Standard Park. And in years past, the county has said no. You know, we have so many really talented and skilled plumbers and contractors and landscapers in Tuolumne County, and they want to sponsor teams and they want to help us make improvements to Standard Park. And we've been telling them no for years. Well, I'm telling them yes. We need to start letting people see that park as theirs and helping to volunteer and contribute to it. Because if we don't start doing that, we're going to lose it.
Need to take one more break. We're talking to Supervisor Ryan Campbell on this weekend's Motherlode Views. It's part of our five-part series featuring the individual supervisors. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with five individual supervisors over the next 5 weeks on this weekend's on the Motherlode Views show. We're kicking things off this weekend with District 2 Supervisor Ryan Campbell. Supervisor Campbell, one thing we haven't dived into much is fire. There's a lot of concerns and questions about fire safety, the end of the federal SAFER grant that Tuolumne County has been using to maintain and expand fire services over recent years. You know, what's your thoughts on fire as you look out on the horizon here?
Well, we're in a less secure position now than we were last year at this time. I'm literally waiting today or in the next few days to hear about the status of the SAFER grant and whether that gets re-upped for another 3-year period. But whether it does or not, we have to continue to support fire safety services in Tuolumne County. I mean, we've made significant investments in fire safety. If you live in Groveland, there's a Type 1 engine up there now that wasn't there before. There's another Type 1 engine out in Columbia at the college that the county operates. Station 56 out in Mona Vista. It used to be a volunteer fire station. It's now a fully staffed county fire station, or it's a staffed part of the day. And these are resources that have significantly improved the safety of our county. I mean, if you look at the Lightning Complex fire that we had about a month ago, we had 7,000 lightning strikes across the Central Sierra Mountains. We had 21 ignition points just in our general area. And then, you know, a half a dozen of those became actual fires. And of course, one of them just spread very rapidly through Chinese Camp and just devastated that community. But there were so many other communities. There was one in Cedar Ridge. There were just fires. There was one on Bald Mountain. So many close calls during that one incident that if we didn't have the resources in the county available to attack those spot fires that were just dispersed widely throughout the county, we would have had a very a much more devastating outcome. And I think that investment in county fire should be maintained, regardless of what happens with the SAFER grant. One of the things that was done with the county budget recently that I did not agree with and I opposed very vehemently was there was $780,000 in fund balance in the fire fund to support fire stations if we lost the SAFER grant. The board chose to pull that out. I voted against that, but the board in total chose to pull $780,000 from fire protection. And my question was, if we're pulling this money from fire protection, what is the plan? Because if that money is not there, the only other option is to either put that money back, put some other source of funding back, look for another grant, or close fire stations. And right now, I don't see anybody making any plans about putting that money back or finding another source of money. And it's really frustrating because our county has invested so many man hours and money and time and effort into building up our fire protection services to a minimal level. I mean, we're at the bare minimum right now that I think a community of our size needs for fire protection. And we're looking at rolling back to where our county was back in, you know, 2018, 2015, you know, 30 years ago. Who knows? We've made significant strides in fire protection, and we're not planning well enough to build upon those strides. In fact, I'm worried we're going to go backwards.
We've got a few more minutes left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Still a couple more things I want to ask you about. The recent grand jury reports have been critical about the county administration, finance, and government oversight. Were you surprised by those findings? Not surprised? What was your reaction?
The grand jury has the right and the duty to look into how taxpayer money is spent. Nothing in the grand jury report, I felt, pointed out that there was any illegal activity, any misspending of money, anything of that nature. It looked very closely at kind of the work culture of Tuolumne County, and I think that that's absolutely an area that could be improved. It did key in very significantly on the county administrator's office, and, you know, we have we're currently searching for a new county administrator. So I think that the grand jury's report has absolutely been taken. You know, I've definitely had some soul searching because of some of the things that were brought up in the grand jury report. And I think to the extent that we need to be open and transparent as a government, that's never a job that's going to end. There are always ways you can improve your process there. I think that we are much more open and transparent than we have been in the past, but there are absolutely areas that I think can and should be improved.
Getting into another topic, we do have an election next year in 2026. There's going to be two supervisor seats on the ballot. I'm curious, Supervisor Anaya Kirk is one of those incumbents. He's already indicated he's going to be running next year. You're the other incumbent that would be on the ballot. Have you decided yet if you're going to run for re-election?
Yeah, it's a question I've gotten a lot recently. I, of course, love being a county supervisor. It's been one of the great honors of my life to serve District 2 these past two terms. I have formed a committee to look at whether or not we're going to run for a third term. I need to talk it over with my wife and my family. I'm hoping to have a final decision on that within the next few weeks, maybe a month or so.
So keep us posted on what
decision you make. I absolutely will. You will definitely hear about it.
Any other issues that we haven't talked about today? We've got just a couple minutes left that are keeping you busy or you're working on right now. How about CSAC? That's a state board that I know you're actively involved with.
So, yeah, I serve on the executive committee for the California State Association of Counties. It's something I do kind of in addition to being a county supervisor. What that is all the counties get together in a big group and they advocate for areas of county interest. So, for example, the SAFER grant. The part of the reason that we were able to receive the SAFER grant in the first place is because I was working with our partners at CSAC to help pressure the government, the state government, and by extension, the federal government, FEMA, into making these funds available for struggling fire districts like ours. And so it's a lot of additional time effort, but I feel it's very, very worthwhile. I'm actually running for president of CSAC this year too. So we'll see how that goes. But I think you cannot effectively do this job without also having an eye at what the state is doing, because we can manage our county house extremely well, but at the stroke of a pen, that can all be changed at the state level. We get saddled with unfunded mandates, which anybody who's heard me talk knows what unfunded mandates are. It's when the state asks counties to perform a task but doesn't provide us any extra money to do that. So that means that essentially that state decision is coming out of your property taxes. We need to really stand up against that, and CSAC is the most effective way in California to do that.
Supervisor Campbell, we've run out of time, but thanks for coming on today.
Well, BJ, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Again, we thank our guest today, Ryan Campbell, kicking off our series featuring the five individual Tuolumne County supervisors on Motherlode Views. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.